those things are a kind of elevation of the status or a cleansing of the person from sins. So before he leaves this world, he is in a purified state. So the Muslim, when he is making dua, there are certain conditions and certain shara'it, as we say. And if he fulfills that, there is no doubt that the dua will be accepted. We know that if a person has to start his namaz, but he hasn't made wuzu, then even if he makes that namaz with great ikhlas, but that namaz is not going to avail and help him in any way. A person made namaz with great ikhlas. There was so much of khushu and khuzu in it, so much of humility and devotion. The qiraat also was with tajweed. He read like one of the imams of the Haram Sharif. But that namaz was read without wuzu, so then he is not going to get any reward for that salat. Like that, there are many other things. If a person has got his niyat incorrect when it comes to fasting, or in many other places where if he hasn't got his niyat right, then we know there will be no sawab for that action and deed. So like that, there are certain conditions. When it comes to dua also, there are certain etiquettes and certain conditions. If you look at the Quran Sharif and the Ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then with certainty we can say that there is great, great emphasis that this Muslim, this person who is a believer, who is making dua to Allah Ta'ala, then his earning must be halal, his livelihood must be halal, and his consumption must be 100% halal. To become mustajab ud-da'wat, that is the condition. That means if you want the du'as to be accepted, the condition is that the person's consumption must be halal. If the consumption is not halal, then it either delays the acceptance of that du'a or it brings about a rejection of that du'a. There are certain things which you may term as not compulsory, farz or wajib, as far as dua is concerned, because a person can make dua to Allah Ta'ala at any time of the day or night. For example, he gets up at night, and at that time he doesn't have wuzu. He can still make dua in his mind. He can beg of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. He can read some tasbihat. So it may not be a condition, but it is the etiquette that if the person really wants quick acceptance of his dua, then he should make wuzu, he should be in a state of purity. That means he must be in a state of ghusl and in a state of wuzu. But as I said, that this is not something that is farz and compulsory, but it assists and helps in the acceptance of the dua. Or for example, facing the qibla. Now this is also not a compulsory thing. A person is traveling, his car is moving in the direction that is away from the direction of the qibla. That doesn't mean he must wait now until his car comes into the direction of the qibla to make dua. He can make dua in whichever direction the car is traveling. For the performance of salat, which is farz, you have to face the qibla, but not for the making of dua. So these are like etiquettes of the acceptance. If the person wants acceptance of dua, then this is something that will aid and help the person in the acceptance of their dua. The recitation of Durood Sharif upon Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Then, for example, all the other things that have been mentioned with regards to how the palms should be and what should be read first and what should be read afterwards. Now, all those things have been mentioned as etiquette. But the essence, and that is what is the most important thing, is that the person's heart must be really, really connected with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala does not accept the dua of a heart that is negligent. That the person's hands have been raised, the words are being recited, but his heart and mind is in the bazaars, in the marketplace, in the football ground, in the cricket ground, and in all other kind of sporting activities or business deals. Now that kind of dua is like a mazak, or we will say it is a joke. The person is not concerned that he has raised his hands before Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, but his heart is not there. So instead of getting what he is asking for, he could even get azab and punishment in return. It is like a person who has been given the opportunity of entering the court of a king. Now this person enters the court of that king, and then when the king is talking to him or listening to him or asking him what is your plea and what is your request and what are your grievances and what you are, have come here for, so at that time his heart is somewhere else, his face is in another direction, his body language shows that this person does not even consider that king as a king, and he is just there due to formality, he has just accompanied some other people, then will that king ever be happy with that person? He is liable to boot that person out. So there must be that complete helplessness that the person must express before Allah Ta'ala. Once there was a Christian priest that came, and in the discussion he was trying to explain to me about Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, Jesus Christ, and was wanting to do some comparison with that which is in the Quran Sharif. So I mentioned to him, I said, look, there's no need to go into all those details and discussion and debate. All I want to ask you is one simple question. That if you go to any Christian home or you go to any church and you see the picture of Jesus Christ, what is the condition of that picture? On that picture you see, in their belief, that Isa alayhi salatu wasalam was crucified. We don't believe in that. But to them now he was crucified. So he is on that cross, he is nailed to it, his face has got a very, very pitiable expression. Any little child too also will feel pity for that person who is being nailed to the cross in that manner. So I asked him, I said, that this kind of a God, of what help will he be to his creation